With Robinhood, not only can you trade individual stocks and ETFs, you can also seamlessly buy and sell crypto at low costs. Trade all in one place. Get started now on Robinhood. Trading crypto involves significant risk. Crypto trading is offered through an account with Robinhood Crypto LLC. Robinhood Crypto is licensed to engage in virtual currency business activity by the New York State Department of Financial Services. Crypto held through Robinhood Crypto is not FDIC insured or SIPC protected. Investing involves risk, including loss of principal. Securities trading is offered through an account with Robinhood Financial LLC, member SIPC, a registered broker-dealer.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. With Indeed sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Don't wait any longer. Speed up your hiring right now with Indeed. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/ARTS. Just go to Indeed.com/ARTS right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Hello and welcome to the Silver Screen Podcast. This is a slightly different one to normal. We're not going out on our usual day, but we thought we'd better put something together to examine what happened at Disney's D23 Expo over the last couple of days. Joining me, as usual, is Mike. Hello, Mike.
Hello there.
And yeah, it's not going to be a long podcast. We're just going to go through briefly what was announced, or what, you know, rather what was not announced at D23, and yeah, we'll have a look at the Disney's first, followed by the Star Wars and the Marvel. But just in general, Mike, we've already spoke about this. It's been quite an underwhelming year.
Not completely. I mean, I was quite enthused with what I'd heard from, was it Comic-Con, from Hall H? They gave us quite a lot there, particularly Marvel.
Oh, no, I'm just talking about
D23 in general. Yeah, my overall sense of it was, I hate being negative, but in this case, I've got to be honest, and I was just really disappointed. And I know there's already discourse all over the internet about a lot of people that are agreeing with my view of, like, ooh, it was a bit lackluster, and an awful lot of people that are then jumping in to try to defend and sort of say, oh, they don't promise you anything, you're just so entitled and whatever, which is nonsense, because of course they do promise something. That's the nature of an expo, basically, you know. But yes, I get what they're saying, is that they didn't promise things that were, you know, hitting the rumor mill about, like, the likes of the Fantastic Forecasting and stuff. But at the same time, what we did see was either, for me, very disappointing or really disheartening and putting me off some things. But I'm sure we'll get into that as we hit them.
Yeah, there did seem to be a lot of familiar ground treaded on this, and I'm not sure if it's indicative of Disney itself moving forward. There seems to be a lot of sequels, a lot of retreads, and
yeah,
anything that would have been new, we already knew about. So a lot of the things that's coming this expo, it was disappointing. We didn't get what we expected, and yeah, maybe that's a sense of entitlement, but, you know, we wanted something.
Definitely. And I did see somebody comment, which I agree with, that Disney do seem to be the only company left that's doubling down on streaming, where, to the point that it's kind of a genuine surprise when you hear about theatrical releases now, because it seems like a lot of it's either the TV shows by Marvel and Star Wars or straight to streaming movies and things like Pinocchio that just came out. So there was an awful lot of Disney Plus stuff, which I think we should have expected, but still it's kind of jarring, I suppose, when you see that and you're like, oh
yeah. No. I mean maybe it was a decision more to focus on that and hold back some of the theatrical stuff with the car crash that's going over at HBO Max right now, but even so, it was a little thin on the ground, as it were.
Yeah, maybe, but anyway, yeah. See, I have individual thoughts about what was there, but we'll knock it out, I'm sure, piece by piece.
Okay, so we'll look at Disney first, and the first one up. I mean, again, it's these are mostly things everybody knew about, but another sequel, which in my opinion, you know, it didn't really need one. Disenchanted, sequel to Enchanted.
Yeah, this is a weird one for me because I still haven't seen Enchanted, but I did watch the trailer and was really intrigued by it. And I do think it's kind of nice seeing some of the casting. Like, I wasn't expecting, is it James Marsden and Idina Menzel playing a couple in there? And I'm like, wow, okay.
Yeah. Well, and James Marsden was in the first one.
Oh, okay. Didn't realize that. It seemed familiar, but yeah. And I did see as well just how overjoyed Griffin Newman, the actor, is, if you know him, to be voicing a talking chipmunk. He's just so thrilled, like, I'm a talking sidekick in a Disney movie. Now I demand my own merchandise and dolls and plushies and everything. So he's just seeing anybody who's that chuffed always makes me feel like, oh, bless them.
I'll be honest. I mean, I really enjoyed the first one. But to me, it's one of those movies that you can watch and you come out of it thinking, it's fine as it is. It doesn't need a sequel. And I think this
but it looks like they've at least got a different angle for the sequel. I'm intrigued to see the idea of what they're saying is, you know.
Yeah.
It doesn't seem like a retread, you know?
No. I'm not saying this is a retread, but I just... Coming up with sequels... so far gone from the original release, which is ironic for me, seeing as, you know, I was hyped for a Tron announcement this time. But it came across to me like a movie that didn't need a sequel, and I worry that it's going to be, you know, as we've all had experience of looking at trailers and thinking, oh yeah, that looks good, and then seeing the actual end product and thinking, oh dear. Well,
this is one of the examples I was on about where I think that's coming straight to Disney Plus, right? It's not getting a theater release.
It is coming to Disney Plus. Yeah, that's on November the 24th.
That's not a great sign, to be honest, generally, is it?
Next up, another, you know, slightly different angle, a familiar subject, Peter Pan and Wendy, a TV series that's going to be streaming on Disney Plus.
That completely passed me by, so I have nothing to add to that, I'm afraid.
Yeah, I mean, how many times has Peter Pan been done now? And is this in place of a live-action Peter Pan movie? Is this a Peter Pan movie?
It wasn't that long ago that they tried. Was it Pan with Hugh Jackman?
Pan,
and that was
huge.
Terrible.
Pan.
Yeah, exactly.
No, I was actually wrong. It's not a series. It does actually look like it's the Peter Pan movie in live-action form. So
it's just a live-action version of the old cartoon? Presumably with like much less racism.
Yes. One would hope.
One would indeed.
Although, it
was never one of my favourite cartoons.
It would appeal to the crowd that are currently dissing The Little Mermaid. But,
don't get me started.
Next thing, again, another thing that, it's kind of intriguing, but it's something that no one really asked for. 2024, Mufasa, The Lion King.
Yeah, that's a weird one because by almost every metric, I'm not interested. And then you hear that Barry Jenkins is directing it, the director of Moonlight, and I'm like, dang, that's really intriguing now. But it's got to do a lot of work, but the director is the only selling point for me because it's pretty much, to me, unknown actors. I'm sure they may well have their own fan base, and to be fair, I'm not part of the African-American community, which might be where they're known from, but... So, yeah, I mean, because they're not bringing James Earl Jones or either Jeremy Irons or Chiwetel Ejiofor. It's completely new actors playing Mufasa and Scar. So I just thought, I don't know about that. And to be fair, doubling down on that animation, which everybody hates, because it seems like they haven't learned the lesson that real lions aren't very expressive. So, making it photo-real, it's just like, if anybody's seen a cat or has a cat, try seeing how many emotions you can read on its face. That's what they're working with, you know?
Yeah, so it all seems to be sequels and retreads so far. And, going forward on the list, it doesn't look incredibly promising because the next one on the list is the live-action remake of Snow White starring Rachel Zegler and Gal Gadot.
That really surprised me because when I was thinking of, like, how many films has Disney got left to do live-action versions when they was doing... when that year came when they brought out, like, Aladdin, Dumbo and Lion King, and I thought... they've already done Snow White, because there's been that many versions of like Snow White and the Huntsman or Winter's War or Mirror or whatever. So I was like, surely they're not going to do Snow White. It's a bit like hearing they're doing 101 Dalmatians. You just think, what's been done? But having said that, the casting is brilliant because I love Rachel Zegler, and giving her a role where she gets to perform and sing is great. And Gal Gadot, I assume, is playing the Evil Queen. So very on the nose casting for some, maybe. But
yeah, as you say, it's been done that many times that you kind of wonder, what are they doing? I mean,
yeah, it's very telling to me that they haven't called it Snow White and the Seven Dwarfs, because a lot of people have real issue with that part of the story. And I do wonder if they're just going to somehow alter that or try to cut the dwarves, in inverted commas, out and stuff, because it's controversial. So it seems like it's a weird call either way to make it, really.
Isn't that kind of what they did with that Snow White and the Huntsman that time, when they had Bob Hoskins as one of the dwarves?
Yeah, that's what I mean. But like I said, there's been an awful lot of people, certainly people who would describe themselves as dwarves in sort of reality, real life, who take massive objection to that. But at the same time, there are also those that object to that, those roles being cut, because it's often the only roles that, you know, actors of shorter stature can get is in things like Snow White. So, like I said, it's going to be very interesting to see how they walk that tightrope.
Yeah. I mean, as we say, it's what's left for them to do now when it comes to live action things.
I mean, it's only a matter of time before they start doing a live action Fantasia or Saludos Amigos and the stuff nobody's ever heard of.
Right, well, getting back to the list of stuff that they did announce, I mean, obviously, a Snow White, another remake, and then which brings us to The Little Mermaid, which, you know, again, I'm not a huge fan of the live action remakes,
but
I really want this to succeed, just to piss off the bigots.
Yep, 100%. And I will say, this was the one, I said this to you as a way of dissing the other stuff, but it's true that this is the one thing that got me the most excited from the entire weekend, because I think Halle Bailey is a genius choice, because you have to have somebody with a voice so like out there, exceptional, that you would believe that, you know, Ursula would want to steal it for a start and everything. So, and what truly surprised me was how much they made Halle Bailey look exactly like the Disney Ariel. Like, the people that are complaining about skin color have literally only that to complain about, because the costume, the hair and everything is, I believed it. I was fully there. I was like, you know what? This is absolutely fantastic as that character. I see no reason why anybody's questioning it, because like I said, with the exception of skin color, which if that bothers you, you're a bigot, and she looks amazing. So, you know,
definitely. It's not a Disney movie that I'm overly
fan of.
You know how we were talking about E.T. the other day, that it never connected with me as a child? I have that with The Little Mermaid. So I'm kind of really excited for this one, you know?
Yeah.
I had some crosswords yesterday on Twitter, because somebody put up, she's now black. What's next? She's going to be transgender. I said, she's literally half fish. Do you know how ridiculous you sound?
Yeah, exactly.
These people.
Technically, she is trans species. She transforms from mermaid to human. So.
Yeah, surprised they're not trying to get the original banned.
Oh, they'll ban any. They'll complain about anything. These, like I said, just racists. And the amount of times I've seen, respect the author's vision, and I'm just like, go away.
Next up, we've got Disney and Pixar's Elemental, which, surprisingly enough, one of the first things on this list, along with Little Mermaid, to actually go straight into theatres, which is on June 16th.
Wait, Little Mermaid's theatres? I thought that was going to be Disney Plus.
No, May 26th, coming to theatres.
Oh, okay. Wow, that's good. That's an intriguing sign, because...
Well, it shows that they have some faith in it, which...
It shows they have faith, but it also means that we can point to the box office when all the bigots come out and they have to start donning their straw hats and telling us that Disney were giving away free tickets when it actually does well.
Well, you know it's going to inevitably be review bombed. as you know, anything that goes against their thing. But yeah,
of course.
As they say,
I have a comment about that when we reach the Marvel stuff. Yeah. So.
Yeah.
Anyway.
So yeah, so that's elemental. It looks like one of them's fire, one of them's kind of water.
Water, I think. Yeah.
I don't really know much about that.
I don't know anything, and I don't want to know, because I think I find certainly when these sort of high concept Pixar things come, it's better for me to go in fresh and let them see whatever they're seeing with their story, if that makes sense. So I specifically didn't look it up beyond the initial picture of like, okay, it's elements, it looks like fire and water, cool.
Yeah. I'm hoping it's a little better than some of their recent attempts.
Well, I didn't like Soul very much, but I like the last
couple. Soul's the one that I'm talking about. I love Milo. I really enjoyed Milo. But Soul just didn't grab me at all.
What's Milo?
Is it my? Am I thinking the right?
Are you thinking of Luca?
Luca, that's it. Oh my God.
Silencio, DK.
Memory like a sieve.
Yes, I also loved Luca, and Turning Red was pretty good.
I've still not seen that, so I can't really offer comment on that. But yeah, Soul really let me down. I wasn't.
Yeah, I
wasn't. The afterlife that was section, a long time. Pre-life sections, no, not my kind of thing. Sticking with Pixar, they've got a series coming to Disney Plus 2023. Win or Lose, with Will Forte as Coach Dan. It looks like some kind of Little League series.
I'll take your word for it. I know nothing about this, and I'm not remotely interested. Sorry.
Yeah.
Nothing you've said has sold me on this. In actual fact, I hear American sports, and I'm just like, yeah, nope, you're good.
I don't know. I mean, I like stuff like Mighty Ducks, Remember the Titans. I can enjoy that.
I've never gotten away with it. I just can't. When it comes to baseball or American football and stuff, I'm just like, I have no frame of reference, and I don't care.
That's fair enough. The next one is Elio, which is another Disney Pixar thing, about a boy who finds himself transported across the galaxy and mistaken for the intergalactic ambassador for Earth.
Hmm.
So, yeah, that's...
I missed all of this, but that does sound interesting.
It does. It's America Ferrera.
Oh, Ugly Betty.
Yeah, and Jonas Cabrera. I'm sorry, forgive me if I mispronounce this. And... as Elio, yeah, and it's supposedly spring 2024, although it doesn't say whether it's going to hit theatres or whether it's going straight to Disney Plus.
And that's Pixar, you said?
It is.
Mm, there's a chance it could be either then, really.
Yeah, and sticking with Pixar, and this is something, you know, and I'm probably very much in the minority here, but another Pixar movie, Inside Out 2. Is scheduled for summer 2024. And again, like Soul, this one just didn't click with me.
That appalls me, because I love that first Inside Out movie.
I really wanted to like it, but I think I was just sat there smiling along because it's what was expected, if you know what I mean.
If you did not feel devastated when Bing Bong spoiled, then you have no soul, my friend.
I knew you were going to go straight to Bing Bong. But yes,
it's good cast. Well, everything,
yeah, definitely. I mean, it's Kyle MacLachlan. It's, you know, Kyle MacLachlan never appears in anything bad, really.
What? Where was he in Inside Out?
He was her father.
Oh, that would make sense. Okay, I don't think I knew that. I only knew I'm referring to the people playing the emotions, like Bill Hader, Lewis Black, Mindy Kaling.
Mindy Kaling, yeah.
Willa Smith, and the only one announced for the sequel, which is Amy Poehler as Joy.
Yeah. So. See, whenever Kyle MacLachlan's in something, I just go straight for Kyle MacLachlan's name, and everything else just falls by the wayside. Another one, which actually is kind of intriguing to me. And again, it's, forgive me if I pronounce it incorrectly, Iwaju, which apparently is a journey into a futuristic version of Lagos, Nigeria. It's a Disney animation, and it's a series starting next year. Again, there's another Disney movie coming up. Don't really know much about it, but it looks like a kind of fantasy thing called Strange World. And again, they must have some faith in it, because it's scheduled to go into theatres. And it's actually this year. I'd have never heard anything about this prior to this.
Me neither. I still haven't. You've only given me a title. So.
Strange World. I'm going to have to look that one up. That one actually does sound intriguing because it looks like a kind of from the screens. Obviously, we're not there, but it looks a kind of bit Journey to the Center of the Earth thing. There's a bunch of people on some kind of flying machine. There's a dog. Some what looks like a barbarian. It looks quite intriguing, that one.
Let me have a quick glance. Upcoming animated film. I think I've seen the poster for this before. It's the 61st actual Walt Disney classic. The film chronicles the legendary Clades, mainly Searcher Clade, who has always been a farmer and never had the bravery of his family of explorers, but they're forced to tackle their latest and most crucial mission as they must rely on each other and forced to put away their differences while in an uncharted and treacherous land to find a special creature that awaits. Starring Jake Gyllenhaal, Jabuki Young-White, Gabriel Union, Lucy Liu, and Dennis Quaid. So
that sounds all right. I'm up for that one. The next one, Wish, an animated feature film
that
explores how the iconic Wishing Star came to be.
This sounds so ridiculous to me.
It doesn't give me much hope, if I'm being honest. I mean,
it sounds so stupid. And it's just like everybody was commenting on the internet with like, you've come up with this really dumb idea when you could have just made a Mickey Mouse feature to celebrate your 100th anniversary. It's like, surely that would make more sense. But even the press release for this that I read, which was like, see the backstory of the iconic star that so many characters have wished on. I was like, it's only Pinocchio, isn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't get it. And it sounds so dumb. It's like, we need to do something that celebrates it, so... it sounds so weird. I mean, anything can be good, but this just sounds bleh.
Yeah, and this is the thing. I mean, that they're the major announcements from the Disney side of things. Yeah. And there's 13 in total. We've gone through 13, and out of them, only 5 are original. Which, to me, just... Yeah. It just seems like they're doubling down on nostalgia. And that's not
To give the other side of that argument, though, there's only 2 that I'm really interested in, and they are both unoriginal. Because from everything you've described, the 2 that I'm most bothered about are The Little Mermaid and Inside Out 2.
It's fair enough. I mean, I'm looking forward to that Strange Worlds, especially now I know it's only a couple of months away.
I would, but I've been burned by Lightyear the last time they tried to do a sort of weird sci-fi-ish fantasy kind of thing, so I'm like...
You see, I've still not seen that, so I couldn't comment.
Just don't. It's really not worth it. Anyway.
They also announced, they didn't announce it. We've known about it for some time, but they gave the audience a look at the new Willow series. So,
no interest, sorry.
how have you have you seen the original, or are you just completely nonplussed about it?
I've had no interest in the original either. It's not really my... Fantasy is very rarely my genre, and it took me multiple times to get into things like Lord of the Rings even, or even Game of Thrones for the fantasy part of it. So Willow just has no appeal to me. So I'm sorry. I know it's beloved, and a lot of people do swear by it, and there's a chance I would watch it and love it, but I can't bring myself to even put it on because I just feel like I'd be bored. Sorry.
That's fair enough. And another thing, which wasn't really a big announcement, but I'm quite pleased with it anyway, is that they're restoring and re-releasing Muppet Christmas Carol in December.
I love that announcement because they're returning the song When Love Is Gone.
Yeah.
Yes! W! Massive win, that. I've missed that in every version because even the Blumen DVD version that I have doesn't include that song. And yet the first version that I ever owned, which must have been a VHS, did. And I've missed it every time I've rewatched that because I watch it every Christmas. And every time I'm like, oh, I miss that song. It's yes. So, yeah, I'll be going straight to Disney Plus when that's on there this year.
Yeah, it's quite telling, actually. I mean, yes, I was getting on about nostalgia, but it is quite telling that the thing that's got both of us most excited is the Muppet Christmas Carol.
Because it's one of the best movies ever made. And I'm being 100% serious.
It's the best version of Christmas Carol.
Yeah, I'd sign off on that.
Mm-hmm. My God, man, we agree on something. There's something wrong here.
We often agree.
And prior to us, you know, looking at the Star Wars, obviously there was a little, I'm not sure if you saw it, thing for Indiana Jones, New Indiana Jones, where Harrison Ford came on stage.
I did, but there wasn't really much. They didn't even give us a title unless the title is going to be Indiana Jones.
It wasn't, but I just loved it to see Harrison Ford so emotional. We're going on to Star Wars now. Again, not much. It's been announced before. They showed a brief clip and there's a trailer. Tales of the Jedi. It's just a series of 6 animated shorts. And it tells, you know, the origins of people like Ahsoka and Count Dooku. And yeah, I get it. I mean, I'm a Star Wars fan and I do like seeing this kind of thing. But it's not something that I'm excited about, shall we say.
No, and after sitting through that Star Wars Visions and being completely unimpressed, I think I'll give this one a miss.
Oh, they give us new looks at things like Andor and Mandalorian Series 3. So, I mean, how are you with those series?
I watch The Mandalorian and I'm a fan of it, but I'm at the point where I don't care enough to go looking up the trailers and stuff because it doesn't get me excited or hyped until it's actually on and then I'm like, I'll watch it since it's there. And then I enjoy it when I watch it, but I'm kind of like that with Star Wars. I wouldn't say that I dislike them. I'm definitely a fan of the films, but then once the films and TV series are switched off, like, it's out of my brain and I couldn't care anymore.
We had this discussion yesterday, didn't we? Because you're more a Trek person. Where, you know, obviously this is probably not going to get you dragged back into the Star Wars universe.
But I like there was another Andor, for what it's worth.
Yeah, the Andor looks really good, and I love that. I'm not sure if you've seen that kind of, I'm not going to say Saul Bass, but that kind of minimalistic poster design for the Senate. Have you seen that one?
I don't think I have. I've seen a couple of posters for the show, but I don't recall seeing the Senate on them.
It's really good. It's like a top-down arty version of the Senate, and it's got the Imperial symbol in the you know, direct at the center where Palpatine is. And then all around where the individual councils are located, they're all Imperials. But every now and again, you've got a Rebel symbol. It's really effective. Ooh. Yeah, it's nice. But yeah, I can't see this one getting you back into Star Wars. There's another cartoon series coming up called Young Jedi Adventures.
Nope.
Which it looks like
Pixar. Star Wars, I don't care how good they are.
Yeah, this one looks like Pixar does Star Wars. And yeah, it's for the kids. It's not my... Will I end up watching it? Probably, because I've watched everything to do with Star Wars, even the Lego versions. But yeah, there's just nothing setting fire to my enthusiasm so far.
All of the things that were the most exciting have either been cancelled or swept under the rug. Because like the Patty Jenkins Rogue Squadron sounded amazing. It's now cancelled completely. I'm intrigued by the idea of Taika Waititi doing a movie that was announced. They've completely just brushed that away. No word on it. I've been waiting a long time for it's going to be controversial, for the Rian Johnson trilogy. It's quite clear that's not happening, despite what he keeps saying and how he wants it to. So it's just going to be more and more churned out TV shows. And I just don't know if I can buy Star Wars as a TV franchise. It's always been about the movies for me. And every time I watch one of the live action shows, I'm close to checking out now because it's getting more and more inside baseball, as they say, and it's just like, here's this character that appeared in Clone Wars, and I don't care. I don't know the lore that deeply.
Had a trailer for Werewolf by Night, the Halloween special.
Yeah.
And that actually looked quite intriguing to me.
I'm 90% on board with this, and it's the most excited I've been for any of the Marvel things because it looks, and again, it's cliche because everyone said it, but it looks different. It looks like they're trying something new. I would prefer if they didn't use Grindhouse as their frame of reference for 1930s horror because they're two different things, which kind of baffled me a bit. But other than that, I loved the fact that they're committing to making it black and white, that it seems over the top deliberately. And then, come on, my man thing. Yeah. Oh. We'd both be thrilled about that.
Yeah. One of the biggest things, and I still remember it from season 1 of Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., where Kobe Smulders is talking on the phone about Maria Hill getting dragged into a committee where they ask her, and who or what is a man thing? And I was like, they mentioned man thing!
So anything's got to be better than that movie from a few years ago, which if you don't know about it, just pretend you didn't hear because it's that bad.
But yeah, as you say, the tone seems off because at one time they're going for a 1930s kind of Universal Monsters vibe, and the next thing it turns into the Grindhouse stuff. So yeah, but I am intrigued, definitely intrigued. I'm looking forward to that. I mean, yes, am I right? It's just a one-off, yeah?
It's a one-off, but I expected it because it's supposed to be a Halloween special, but now they've labeled it with a whole new label as like special presentation, which hopefully opens the door to doing other stuff like that. So, but I was expecting it to be, because it's a Halloween special, like on that Halloween or that week, and it's coming out on like October the 7th, October, so it's not far away.
I mean, if it's popular, do you think we're going to get a regular thing? I mean, could next Halloween be the Living Mummy, that kind of thing? Is that what they're going to go for?
Marvel has such a history of horror comics and those kinds of things that I wouldn't be at all surprised if you got the sort of weird monster version of the Howling Commandos or, any of the vampire characters. Not Morbius, obviously, but, you know, they could do a Dracula film with their version of Dracula, or they could let Blade have a special if the movie's popular. Or
I just want to see Elsa. I just want to see, and I want her to be comic accurate. But Werewolf by Night, yeah, that's looking good. A thing that I'm happy about, because they announced it some time ago, but there was no mention at SDCC this year, is Armor Wars.
They did bring it up and said that it specifically spins out of Secret Invasion, which is why they can't really mention anything about it, because it would spoil that show.
All right. And we also had a trailer for Secret Invasion. What did you think to that?
I absolutely hated it. It was either you or somebody that I posted the message to. I don't know what this beep is, but it's not Secret Invasion. Because, it seems like they're trying to make Captain America the Winter Soldier 2, and it's got almost nothing to do with the comic storyline, which I hate when they use the same name and it's not remotely related, you know?
Yeah. And speaking of which, Thunderbolts.
Yeah, not great. Not the best. What do you want me to say? I wasn't impressed at all.
It's not the most impressive lineup, is it?
Pretty much none of that lineup have been in the Thunderbolts in the comics for a start. The Thunderbolts as an idea is supposed to be villains, or at least antagonists and anti-heroes, which, you know, at least a couple of these don't really fit into. And it's just weird that it's such a lame lineup. I mean, I sent you the meme of, okay, Ghost has useful powers. The other five literally all do the same thing.
Yeah.
It just seems so weird. And as I was thinking about it to myself last night, I was like, do you know what you could do? You could make the Thunderbolts into like your version of Dark Avengers and try to have a cipher for or equivalent for every Avenger. Because you've got like US Agent to be your Cap. You bring in Justin Hammer to be your Iron Man with one of his drones or whatever. You bring in Enchantress to be your version of Thor, the one from Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. if necessary. You could have Abomination as your Hulk. You've got Yelena as your Black Widow, and you could chuck in Zemo or anybody to be Hawkeye, because freaking Hawkeye, who cares? And you've already got Val as your Nick Fury, so that's, you know, mission done. You could make Avengers, but like I said, instead they just have five Soldiers of Fortune and one useful character, and they've included the two worst antagonists in the MCU, in my opinion, in Ghost and Taskmaster, so...
Yeah. I can't believe they're bringing the Kirilenko version of Taskmaster back. I thought it would be someone else under the mask.
Popular. Yep. half of the lineup are from Black Widow, Red Guardian, Yelena Belova, and Taskmaster. It's only a 6-person team. Come on.
It's got the most negative reaction from what I've seen online.
It's crap.
Yeah. And
I mean, you know, I'm excited
negative
to see...
reaction from an actual critical point of view, not just because it's a bunch of bigoted assholes shouting at a screen, but
I mean,
I know it's concept art that they showed, but it's just not working.
It's not that. It's the actual lineup just doesn't make sense. And I've had people say, oh, you've got to trust that maybe these, you know, the likes of the Abomination or Zemo or whatever might turn up in the film and just haven't announced them. And maybe you'll get Abomination or Titania or Leader even or whatever, but that might spoil She-Hulk. And it's like, I thoroughly doubt that. I don't have enough faith that this isn't just your lineup for the film. And as I was saying, I'm excited to see Harbour again because I liked him as Red Guardian. But it makes absolutely zero sense why either him or Yelena would be on an American team, which is what they are at the end of the day. And that's it. I mean, there's no... I've never overly loved Bucky, but I still would rather see him in an Avengers team than a Thunderbolts team, because is he really an antagonist? Does it count if he was brainwashed anytime he did something bad? I mean, you know, where do you draw the line?
None of them are...
None of them are bad. None of them seem like a threat.
None of them are what you would call A-listers in the antagonist department. And you have Zemo in the MCU. He's right there.
Yeah. I mean, like I said, I could use only existing characters and make a better team than what we got here. Because when you look at the characters they haven't used, like I said, Justin Hammer. Do you know how popular that character was? Sam Rockwell. A really good actor, and the last time we saw him, he was just languishing in jail. And it's like, well, you could quite easily use that guy, you know what I mean? And well, any of the other villains that are still alive, besides Ghost and Taskmaster, who were terrible,
you can't really see Taskmaster towing the line if it were the comic book version, anyway.
Well, it's not, is it? That's the thing. It's randomly just... Dracov's daughter who had no character whatsoever.
Yeah, it does seem what with this and Secret Invasion, like they're just taking titles and putting anything under
which
them.
Really worries me for Kang Dynasty and Secret Wars.
Yeah,
because if they're nothing like the title, the sort of things they're based on, the comics runs or the big storyline, what potential mess could they be? And I'm scared.
Yeah, well, apparently they did show a clip of Quantumania. And everybody was quite, you know, pleased with that.
People are very easily pleased. It seemed to me like, although I wasn't there, but I read the description and it seemed to me like very more of the same, but with Jonathan Majors and, you know, Bill Murray randomly chucked in there. And yeah, the plot details that we have about it's going to be, they have to do a heist in the quantum realm to get Cassie back. And I'm like, oh, great. We're doing this again, you know?
Yeah.
I am chuffed to see that Randall Parker's Jimmy Woo is back. That is good.
Yes. they showed that. They had Charlie Cox for a little look at Born Again.
Yeah, didn't really give us very much. I think that was more to get D'Onofrio on stage for the Echo stuff, which, again, it really bugs me that people just don't realize that you can just look up what happened in the comics as if it's a big reveal. It's like, oh, my gosh, we thought the Kingpin was dead and he really just got shot in the eye. Yeah, I know. I've read the comics. The information's out there. I knew that the second it happened in the flipping show.
They did a bit more on Loki season 2, and you know, I guess apparently he spends this season trying to warn everybody about the coming war with Kang. So, if that's true, I guess at least we're getting some tying into the movies.
Yeah, I mean, it's good. Well, we say that we thought that with this whole multiverse thing, and it turns out none of it really connected in any meaningful way until Feige went, "No, this is how it connects." And if you have to read an interview to find out how, then frankly, you're not doing your job.
No,
never mind.
it's not looking good for that. The only other thing, rather the main headline, is something I'm not interested in. If it had been live action, fair enough. But the Moon Girl and Devil Dinosaur animation,
I didn't even see about it.
Yeah, it looks okay for a cartoon, but.
You've skipped over some Marvel stuff there, but whatever.
No. I'm getting to some of it, but yeah, the Moon Girl and Devil Dinosaur, yeah, it'd be good in live action, but yeah, the animation just it's not doing it for me. And it's
this is literally the first time hearing about it. And I was watching the Marvel panel sort of live feed and it didn't even come up.
Yeah. And I think getting on to the biggest disappointment of the night, Fantastic Four.
Here's the director we already told you about and which was already known. And the reason he's not on stage is we have nothing to tell you.
Yeah.
Great. Then why? Why bother?
Do you know what I mean? For those listening at home who's not sure, the rumour was that they were going to announce the casting. And for a brief while, due to someone taking the piss on Twitter, we thought they had announced the casting. But it turned out it was fake. And so all we got was the name of the director.
Yeah. And to be fair to them, when Feige pointed out there are two more D23s until the film's due out, I was like, that's fair enough. But then I suppose you can't blame them for that, but it's like you could have and should have quashed the rumors sooner. Like, you know, put something out there that there's not going to be anything from Fantastic Four. And it was the same with Elizabeth Olsen was there and was photographed. And then everybody was like, oh, my, they're going to announce a Wanda solo thing. It's amazing. And she was just there as a guest. She wasn't even on stage. And it's just like people have to stop jumping to these conclusions and Marvel have to stop, you know, baiting people because then you can't tell me they don't know what they're doing when they have Olsen turning up for no reason just to watch what's going to happen in Disney. Get lost. Yeah. They know what they're doing.
And speaking of, you know, people glimpsed on the carpet, she were obviously there because they were promoting the Marvels and they had, you know, they had all three of them on stage and they showed a clip from the upcoming movie. But did you happen to see the interview with Brie Larson?
I did, and I feel really, really sad about it. It's just, she just looked like she's so worn out, and you know what? I get it. I fully get it.
You can't blame her.
Nope. Yeah. When she said what she said, which was, you know, for anybody who doesn't know, the interviewer asked, amongst other questions in the middle of the thing, how long are you going to play Captain Marvel? And her response, fully genuinely, was, I don't know. Does anybody want me to do it again? And you just feel like, and she was, as some idiots described it, like, oh, why is she always going to be awkward and twitchy and weird in the interviews? To which it's like, because of you dick.
Yeah.
When somebody acts like that, it's trauma response because she's sick of all the crap. And you can fully tell it was. It was like, she thinks, I'm massively unpopular and everybody hates me. And if that's all you're seeing for, you know, years on end, then it is going to make you think, well, you know, does anybody want me to bother? What's the point? And it's a shame. It really is.
It makes you wonder if she's actively now just thinking about getting out of whatever contract she's got remaining because she's just getting
fed up. It certainly seemed that way. It definitely seemed that way. And even when you watch the rest of the interview, it kind of seems that way because she's enthused for the project. You can tell that much. But even when she's describing, like, oh, what do you feel about having Iman and Tayona as the others? And she's like, it's just really good because it's nice to have a team and to have people there. And it just feels like, oh, you can tell the unspoken subtext is just like, it's nice that I've got two other people to potentially take some of the arrows that are going to be coming this way. Do you know what I mean? So, and it's nice to have people to at least on your side when it comes to making the film. And on the subject of the Marvels, how flipping cute and just awesome and nerdily brilliant is Iman Vellani. I can't get over how much as I hate that show, I love that actress so dang much, and I wish they'd given her more to do because seeing her on stage just fully geeking out and then again genuinely I'm finally gonna struggle to breathe right now and then freaking out and then Feige saying this isn't fake, she's actually a bigger fan than any one of us, we didn't know it when we cast her and we're only a tiny bit regretting it.
Just like, they couldn't have picked anyone better to play Kamala.
No, exactly. Exactly. And even in the pictures when you see her and she's like nestling next to Brie Larson or Brie Antiona, she's just pure unbridled joy in her face. You can just see that, like, you can almost see the cogs in her head going, I'm with Captain Marvel and Monica Rambeau.
Yeah. And I also like the fact that she's not afraid to criticize Feige.
No, exactly. Yeah, definitely.
And I'm with her on the 616. It's bullshit.
Yeah. Likewise. But then again, if you're going to start criticizing stuff like that and then completely change the character you're playing.
Yeah, true. So that's all I've got for Marvel. Is anything else you've got, mate?
Ironheart. That did come up, actually. So yeah, it was nice to see a little bit more from that and to see who was working on it and again double down on, because the Wakanda Forever cast also were there, and they all seemed quite sort of happy and also quite emotional about obviously the film serving as a tribute and everything. Yeah. But not really much was given away other than apparently there was another bit of exclusive footage shown of Namor having a fight with random Dora Milajes, and then another shot of the unknown Black Panther, which just focused on her shoes or something, it's I think. So, yeah, so that Fair was enough. That information. Nothing on Blade, nothing on Agatha. Oh, that was the big thing, yeah. They talked about Captain America New World Order, and inexplicably, the villain of that movie is going to be the leader? The Hulk villain?
Oh, yeah.
What?
And they're getting, I forgot his name, they're getting him back. Blake Nelson. Blake Nelson, yeah.
Yeah.
Which, I'm glad he's coming back, but...
I have a feeling, and I hope I'm right, that he's going to turn up in She-Hulk in the next few weeks, because I think that's who's trying to steal Jen's blood, and I kind of hope that's the case, because it makes a lot more sense there than it does as a Captain America villain. But yeah, that was such a weird announcement. Everything else they announced from that film I love, because they've said Carl Lumbly's back as Isaiah Bradley. Awesome. Two thumbs up to that. Obviously, you've got Joaquin Torres, I think. Is that the actor or the character? I forget. But anyway, playing the new, officially confirmed as the new Falcon. Which is cool. And obviously, you know, you've got the Anthony Mackie as the Sam version of Captain America. So everything else about that I think I like, but it's just like such a weird choice of villain for me.
Yeah. So, yeah, is that it for Marvel?
I think so.
Yeah. The other thing that they mentioned, things like Avatar Way of Water. Is that something that
I'm
you're
avoiding
excited
spoilers.
About?
I'm not unexcited, and I'm looking forward to actually seeing an Avatar film in 3D at the cinema, because the last one I missed. And even the re-release that's currently happening isn't coming to my nearest cinema. So it'll be nice to see it. And I'm intrigued because I did like the first one. I don't think it's certainly not, you know, highest grossing film of all time good, but I enjoyed it. It was a decent time to watch and enjoy. So I fully expect I'm going to enjoy, you know, it'll have a decent time at the cinema, especially if the 3D is very good. But yeah, I'm just at this point trying to avoid spoilers because I did catch a few things about like which character Sigourney Weaver's playing in the film and stuff. And I'm like, I'd rather not know that until I go to watch the movie. And somebody had asked, which character? I think it might have been Stephen Lang's back for this one. And somebody had said, how is that possible when you died in the first one? But thankfully he didn't give a response and was just like, it's James Cameron, anything's possible. So I was like, okay, don't spoil it for me then. I don't want to know yet.
Yeah. And then other than that, we had we had a look at the official look at a trailer for the TV series National Treasure, Edge of History, which I'm not 100% sold on, although it's got Harvey Keitel in, so that instantly raises it for me.
I could not be less interested in that. I do apologize.
Were you not a fan of the movies, or?
Nope.
Oh, fair enough. the Percy Jackson TV series?
Nope. Sorry. See, this is what I mean. I was disappointed because it's half of the stuff's like I could give a crap, and then the stuff that I did care about was like, oh, that's disappointing. Because even the Marvels, when they said like, oh, the footage shows that the tone is very closest in tone to Ms. Marvel, and I'm like, oh, great, the one show I hated.
Yeah.
That doesn't bode well, does it?
Yeah. Well, I mean, the trailer for National Treasure doesn't look too bad. I've not looked at the one for Percy Jackson. I did like the movies. Well, the first movie anyway. So I'm interested.
Apparently this is meant to be an apology for the movies because everybody hated them.
Yeah. Apparently they rearranged quite a bit of stuff in the movies. And the first movie apparently wasn't as egregious as what they did with the second one. So... yeah, I'm interested to see what a more faithful adaptation is like, because I've not read the books, if I'm, you know, being completely truthful.
No, it's YA, and I think we were well past young adult age when they came out. So
yes, and the other thing, again, it you know, your mileage may vary. Tim Allen returning in the Santa Clauses.
Can't stand Tim Allen. Hate the man.
That's fair enough. I was expecting that for some reason. So yeah. That's pretty much it from D23. Not that, I mean, we've talked more than we planned to, but still a feeling of being underwhelmed.
Yeah, massively. Like I said, I understand the point of view of people that are like, well, you shouldn't have went in expecting anything. They don't owe you anything. But at the same time, it feels odd to me that there were so many big reveals at Comic-Con and all of the things that were out of that. We were like, well, there's a lot of gaps in that Marvel thing. They'll fill them in at D23. Nope. Yeah. And like you said, even the big stuff that they revealed, a lot of it was stuff that was either already suspected or just known. So.
Yeah, and I do think it's a shame that they are relying very heavily on hits that they've had before. It would be nice to see, you know, especially from the Disney side of things, a few more original ideas. Having said that, anybody that knows me knows how much I love Tron.
Mm-hmm.
And I was hyped because apparently there was going to be an announcement at D23 for Tron. And there was an announcement, but it's just for another video game.
Yep.
And
that happened with a lot of the Marvel stuff as well. I was like, ooh, a Captain America, Black Panther, World War Star. Oh, it's a game.
Yeah.
Okay.
And don't get me wrong, I love them. I know you're not a gamer anymore, but I'm still into my games. But as much as I love games, and I love the last Tron game, Tron... Not Uprising, Tron. I don't know. I can't remember the name, but yeah, I enjoyed it. But I want another.
Didn't enjoy that much if you didn't remember the name,
mate. It's me. I can't remember what I had for breakfast yesterday. Tron Evolution. Yeah.
Yes, I see it now.
It was a pretty decent game, actually. Enjoyed it, but you know, as much as I do love video games, I want a third film. Come on.
I love that you love Tron and it's your thing, but I haven't liked anything since the first movie, personally. Sorry.
That's fair enough.
I truly hated Tron Legacy. I just, I don't get it. Great soundtrack, nothing else going for that movie, as far as I can tell.
Well, I quite enjoyed it. But again, I think it's down to the experience. I went and saw it in IMAX 3D and, you know, with the surround and that Daft Punk song.
I rented it on DVD, so...
See, that's where you let down.
I've only seen the original Tron on like VHS and DVD, and I love that movie.
Oh wow, that's fair enough, I suppose. I'm that old. I've seen them both at the cinema.
Oh man, that is old.
That explains the memory problems, mate.
Well, take us out then before we take up any more time.
Okay, then. Well, yeah, this has been our D23 roundup and, you know, pretty much a review of everything that we've hated. So what do you think? Let us know if there's anything that you're disappointed that you didn't see or something that you're excited that was announced or, you know, just touched upon at D23. Just let us know in our social media accounts or in our comments. We'll be coming back with our regular features. I'll not go into them now. We've told you about them over the last couple of episodes. So hopefully tune in for that. And do you want to do the sign out, Mike?
Yeah, and do check out all of the things that are coming up on here and on our sister podcast, Hit or Miss Star Trek. And again, check out all of the stuff that's mentioned in our outro and in the description. And in the meantime, remember, in the epic words of Arnie, I'll be back.
You have been listening to the Silver Screen Podcast, hosted by Michael Wilson and DK. Created, produced, and edited by Michael Wilson. Behind the scenes sections and additional material produced by DK. Music by Timeless Journey. More information can be found at soundcloud.com/timelessjourney. Follow the podcast on Twitter @podcast_screen, on Instagram @SilverScreenPodcast, or look for the Silver Screen Podcast under Facebook groups. Links to all our social media accounts and more are in this episode's description. This podcast is available on YouTube or wherever you get your podcasts. Just look for Silver Screen, Hit or Miss Star Trek. This has been a Mike's Podcast production. Copyright 2022. Thank you for listening.